it's always encouraging to see the Holy Spirit confirming his word before you even speak it. I'm going to be speaking this morning on the prophetic ministry. I was already engaging. John came up. Riley came up. So it's definitely flowing. I can sense it. And it's good to be sensitive to that, because all things are possible when that anointing is moving. Okay? Because a spirit watches over the word to perform it, right? So be careful what you speak in that atmosphere. You can have positive or negative. So the enemy will always attack you, bring forth a word, attack those around you. And you don't ever want to move into your emotions, right? Because that's where he'll get you. You stay in the word. You speak the word. Well, brother, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter what you feel like. Well, brother, you don't know what I'm going through. Don't need to know. God knows. Well, I'm just not sure. Only believe. And keep speaking and speaking. God's word will not return void. Amen? Okay, so I'm going to say I'm a little bit nervous this morning. Okay, that's good. Because I got to address some things in the church with the prophetic ministry. So being nervous is a good thing, because I have to rely on the Holy Spirit. He's not nervous. So I have noticed in the last decade, if not longer, a moving away from the prophetic ministry's purpose and function in the church. I've observed that it's been misused and in some cases abused. Okay? So what happened this morning with it being activated now, I'm going to teach you and give you foundation to stand on. Because you cannot stand on an experience. Okay? It'll lead you to the word, which will keep you in experience. All right? So I'm going to throw some trivia out there. We got some live music going on. That's all right. It's all right. Who can tell me was the first person that God called a prophet in the Old Testament? First person that God himself called a prophet in the Old Testament. Go ahead, just shout it out if you want to give an answer. Anybody? First guy that answers got it right. Abraham, right? Kind of interesting, most of us think Moses or Noah, but Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7 says, "Now therefore restore," God is talking to a king, "now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live, and if you restore her not, know that you will surely die, you and all that's yours." Little background, Abraham is going through countries to get to the land that God is showing him with his wife, Sarah, and they come into the land of Gerar. King Abimelech is there. Now, this is interesting, because at 99 years old, God tells Abraham that he's going to have a son. His wife, Sarah, is 90 years old. Okay, just get that picture in your mind. 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, right? So they're going through this country with the king Abimelech, and he sees her, and he's like, "Whoa, I think I'll take her for a wife." Okay? So he takes her, and in a dream, this is where God comes to him and says, "Hey, that's a man's wife, and you need to give her back, and if you don't, I'm going to kill you. I'd probably give her back as soon as possible, right? And beside that, all the women in the land are now barren. They can't give birth because he took this prophet's wife, right? Okay, so who can tell me, and that's a trivia question, who was the first person recorded that I found prophesied in the Old Testament? Okay, somebody said Abraham. Anybody else? Yeah, who was the first person that prophesied in the Old Testament that's recorded in the Bible? This is a hard one. Samuel? No, almost. Okay, hold on. Isaac? Who else? No, there's a person now. Jesus didn't come till later. Okay. Daniel. A lot of good answers. I didn't know if anybody was going to get this one. Let's go to Genesis 5, 23 and 24. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch was walking with God, and one day was just—he was just taken up. He was gone. God took him. So you say, okay, well, it doesn't say anything about prophesying, right? Or does it? How about Jude? How about Jude 1:14? And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied these, saying, "Behold, the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints." Okay. So Abraham was the first one called a prophet, and Enoch was the first one that the Bible called was recorded as being prophesying, okay? So there are two categories of the prophetic ministry. The first one is the office of a prophet. The second one is the gift of prophecy, okay? The office of a prophet. That is a person gift to the church, all right? Ephesians 4:11-12 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these are people, gifts to the church from Christ himself. And they have a certain function, as you read on, to help bring the body into maturity until the full measure of who Christ is. So last week, our brother was preaching, and no doubt I discerned he has an anointing of an evangelist on him. Okay, which I'll prophesy to you, brother, that it's only the beginning for you, and your gift is going to make room for you, and doors of opportunity are going to increase to evangelize the gospel. All right, so the gift of prophecy now is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 we'll start with. But the manifestation, which was happening this morning, okay, the manifestation, the Spirit was coming out through people, is given to every man to profit withal or woman. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these work that one and self-same Spirit, giving to everyone as he wills. So I don't have a gift of prophecy. And neither do you. It is something the Holy Spirit decides who he wants to move through and speak through. All the gifts come by him, okay? The office gifts are gifts of people, yes, but the Spirit gifts is as he determines, okay? That needs to be a distinction because people have gone around saying before, I've got the gift of prophecy. I've got the gift of the word of knowledge. No. The Spirit has the gift, and he decides when and who and where he speaks through. OK, Okay, you may be using that, but don't think that that's yours, because at any moment it could go to somebody else. And by the way, everyone can walk in all the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? All right. So, in the Old Testament, because we have to start at the beginning, God would raise up a prophet or a prophetess, which is the female version of the male prophet. In fact, there's five references to the women who were prophetess in the Old Testament. I don't know if you knew that. Miriam, that's Moses' sister, Deborah, Huldah, Isaiah's wife. Now, I've been working to try to find out what her name is. The Bible doesn't say, but it does say his wife, okay, and Isaiah. And Anna, which was in the temple when Joseph and Mary came into the temple and she prophesied over Jesus, okay? So God would raise up also the women to prophesy in that office, okay? You got to remember, in Christ there's neither male nor female. I don't know if you heard that. I said, you have to remember, in Christ there's neither male nor female. Okay, so God is not a chauvinist God. He just doesn't work through men. He's a spirit. He works through spirits. Amen? And you have a spirit, soul, and body. All right? So God would raise up a prophet or prophetess, and that person God would communicate with in the Old Testament his will and purpose, who in turn would communicate with the people. All right? Now, if the people rejected the prophet or prophetess, they weren't rejecting them, they were rejecting God. And it was the responsibility of the prophet or prophetess to intercede so God's wrath wouldn't come upon his people. Okay? So they had a very important job. And by the way, if their word was not accurate, they were stoned to death. So I guarantee nobody was going online to become a prophet or a prophetess. Because literally the benefits were out of this world, because if you missed it, you were gone. Right? So no one took that upon themselves. That was who God picked and chose. All right. So in Amos 3:3, now if you remember the message on kingdom authority. How many of you remember that message? Okay, very important. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they are in agreement? So, verse 7, I don't have this in my notes, but I'll just quote it. Verse 7, it says, For surely God will do nothing in the earth, but he first reveals his secret or his will to his servants, the prophets. So God does not work outside of his people gifts. God has to have agreement through his people gifts to do anything on the earth. Sorry to disappoint your doctrine. Yes, God is sovereign, God is in control, but it is only through his people that he can move and work. He does not act independently of his word or his people. Don't ask me why. His word just says it. So if you're sitting around thinking God's going to do something and it hasn't happened in 20 years, then probably you should get the revelation that you need to do something. Because God's already done it. Now he's given us authority to subdue and have dominion, right? Come on, is anybody alive in the church this morning? All right. So, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 20. I really like this. Now, I can't tolerate, let me call it a pet peeve of ministry, when I'm around certain individuals that advertising their office. Well, I'm an apostle, brother. Well, brother, I'm a prophet. Even got a card that says prophet so-and-so on there. Whoopee-doo-dah. Let me see how you're prophesying what's happening. when you preach the gospel. I don't care if you got it on a card, you got it on your wall, you got it on your bumper sticker, on your plate or license plate. You don't need to tell me who you are. It should be evident of who you are, right? And your leadership will recognize the gifts and callings on your life. You don't need to promote yourself and be somebody, because Paul said, if a man thinks that he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. And if any man thinks he knows anything yet, he don't know anything yet as he ought to know it. Right? So listen to what 1 Samuel says, because this is big, because in the church there's all these superstars. And all these people are running to these superstars instead of running to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Go ahead, have your superstar. I'll take Jesus. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Wow. The people just knew. The people could discern. They could tell. They didn't need to go online. They didn't even have a website. Right? They didn't need to ride a horse with a bullhorn in those days. They just needed to worship Jesus and let Jesus speak through them. I mean, if he could speak through a donkey, he definitely could speak through me. And believe me, I've been a dumb donkey many a times. All right. Proverbs 18:16 says this, a man's gift. Now, when I'm saying man, it means women too, okay? Don't throw any stones, all right? It's all inclusive, right? Gift makes room for them and brings them before great men. See, it's the gifting and the anointing that brings honor into your life before others. And believe me, without it, you are nothing. Nothing. Nothing without it. Jesus said, I can do nothing. Now listen, Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. Whoa. Let that preach in the church. I don't want to be somebody. I did it one time. I don't want to be somebody. I want Jesus to be somebody. Because I can't do a thing. Can't do anything without him. All right. Jeremiah 28. Now, in the Old Testament, you knew if God really sent a prophet, if their word came to pass, okay? If their word did not come to pass, God did not send them, right? A prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, and the prophet shall be known that the Lord has truly sent him. I've heard a lot of words that haven't come to pass by so-called prophets. All right? Now, I have a lot of respect for the office, and I don't dishonor anyone or discredit anyone, because in the New Testament, as we'll find out, people do make mistakes and there's grace. But when it comes to a level of maturity in that office, there should be few and far between. Okay? All right. Now, in the Old Testament, it was so important because it says in Hosea 12:13, and by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. So you can see how important the prophet's office and calling and prophetic ministry was in the Old Testament, because the people were drawn to them and God used them to deliver his people time and time again. All right? We're not in the Old Testament any longer. I said, we're not in the Old Testament any longer. Thank God we're not. We're in a better covenant, a better testament with better promises. 1 Samuel 9:9 says, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come, and let us go to the seer. Now, what is a seer? Someone who sees. The word's not complicated, okay? Close your eyes. You don't see. Open your eyes. You see. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Right, Gary? So a seer, now listen, there's a little bit difference between a seer and a prophet, by the way. A prophet operated more on unction and faith, okay? And a seer saw more. Now, they both operated in the prophets, but there was a distinction. So there is a distinction between a seer and a prophet. So if you see, you may not prophesy, okay, or you haven't prophesied, but maybe you see a lot. Maybe you see things in the spirit, okay? So that's the prophetic operating in your life. You don't necessarily have to get up here and prophesy. You can see stuff and it be prophetic, all right? So they would go to the seer or the prophet and get direction for their lives or for the nation. So the prophet or seer drew people to themselves because they spoke for God in the Old Testament. Okay, everybody got that? Everybody would go to them. They didn't go to the king. They didn't go to the priest. Okay, they went to the prophet to hear from God. All right. Now my favorite part. Let's move into the New Testament. A better one. 2 Peter 1:19 through 21 says this. Peter says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Say, a more sure word of prophecy.
More sure word of prophecy.
Now say, for sure.
Sure.
Whereunto you do well that you may take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay? So, if someone comes and prophesies to you or to a congregation and you cannot find any scriptural basis, it's inaccurate because they're giving a private interpretation of it. All right? In the New Testament, Let me finish first. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God or women spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay? So Jesus said this, it is finished. Okay? It's finished. His work, his word is finished. It's forever settled in the heavens. There's no new word or revelation coming from any human being other than God's word. And if somebody has one, run for your life. I mean that. Run for your life. So in the Old Testament, here's the difference. You ready? In the Old Testament, people were drawn to the prophet, and the prophet drew the people to hear from God. A New Testament prophet will draw you to the Word of God. They will always draw you to the Word and not themselves. Got one amen. Because why? Because it's finished. Because everything you need to do and be successful, and his divine power has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness, is in his word. You don't need something new. You don't need something fresh. Just get into his word. So the New Testament prophet will always direct you, deflect you from themselves to the word. So what is the purpose of the New Testament prophet, the office? Well, Ephesians says to help bring the saints into maturity. So here's how they work. The prophet or prophetess in the New Testament brings not new revelation outside of the word, but from inside the word. Okay? Have you ever read something like half a dozen times, and the next time you read it and it jumps out at you? That's the revelation of the word being revealed to you. So when someone is operating in prophetic ministry, when they're preaching or prophesying, there is like, it goes from logos, the written word, to rhema, the living word, and it brings illumination and revelation. Example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the fiery furnace. The king says, heat it up 7 times, right? Well, it's already hot. Why not twice as hot? Or why not 5 times as hot? Why 7? Right? Well, in Psalm says, the word of the Lord is tried as silver in a furnace of fire, heated 7 times over. All right? So God's word had to be tested in their life, and that's why the enemy said in Nebuchadnezzar's ear, heat it up 7 times. Let's see if these boys really believe who God is. Revelation of the word. So they're in the furnace. And the furnace doesn't have effect on them. They're not being consumed. The mightiest men of the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar's army are consumed instantly when the furnace doors are open. But they're walking around, just walking around, shooting the breeze in the furnace. And the king freaks out because now there's a fourth person in there. And he turns to his leader and he says, hey, didn't we throw 3 in there? He says, yeah, king. He said, well, there's a fourth one. He looks like the Son of God. So some versions say son of the gods, could have been an angel, but I like to think it's Jesus, okay, which I believe. So we know that God delivered them, right? The fire didn't even singe them. They didn't smell like smoke. But how did God deliver them? Did you ever wonder why or how? Oh, by his power, right? Yeah. Oh, by his presence. Faith? Okay. Yeah, but I want to know how he delivered them and what way he delivered them and even what element did he use to deliver them. Good answers. You ready? I think it's Zechariah chapter 2. I should have written it down. Zechariah 2. Somewhere in there. God says, I myself will be a wall of fire round about Jerusalem and the glory in the midst of her. So the fire that was with them was greater than the fire trying to consume them. The fire of God was burning hotter than that natural fire could burn. Revelation of the word. Peter, Acts 5, is walking, and they're putting the sick in the streets, and they're hoping that just his shadow, says the shadow of Peter, would overshadow some and they would get healed. Okay? So the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Did Peter have to walk on the west side of the street, so the sun hit him, and the people on the east caught his shadow and got healed. Because a shadow can only go in one direction. And did they have to wait till sundown, where the sun is setting, to turn around and walk on the west so the people on the east now could get the shadow? All right, it's very important how you pay attention to how the Word of God is written. It did not say Peter's shadow, if you look at it. It said the shadow of Peter. If it said Peter's shadow, the emphasis would be on Peter and not the shadow. But it's not on Peter. It's on the shadow. And I remember in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It wasn't Peter's shadow. So not about Peter. Not about the great apostle who was the first spokesman. It was about the shadow. It was about God. It was about Jesus on Peter as he walked. Me and my shadow. Revelation of the Word. New Testament prophet, prophetic ministry. Okay? You understand the difference now? Not a new word, not an added word, just a reveal word coming out for the body to encourage your faith. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 6:63, it's the Spirit that quickens or brings to life, the flesh profits nothing. How true, Jesus. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. See how important your words are? See how important the Word of God is? If you don't speak His word, you won't speak life. If you come into agreement with any other voice or word, you won't get life. That's how it works. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. John 3:28. This is really good now. People are coming to John saying to him, whoa, John, are you the one, are you the Messiah that we should follow? Are you the one that Moses prophesied about? John, look at your ministry. Look at how powerful you are. Look at what you're doing, how you're influencing the nation with your words, right? By the way, now listen, John is the last of the Old Testament prophets. He's not a New Testament prophet, okay? Jesus is the first New Testament prophet, and the best, by the way. You know, people say, well, I like Elijah. Yeah, I like Jeremiah. I like Ezekiel. I like Moses. Good. They all got their flaws. I said they all got their flaws. But Jesus has no flaw. Better to go with Jesus. You can learn from them, but they were flawed people and vessels. Amen? Jesus wasn't. Better to stick with Jesus. I ain't going to be no disciple of Moses. Are you second? A second-rate prophet? No way. I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Deflected. See, now John is, they're transitioning into the New Testament. John is deflecting that to Jesus. He's not even deflecting. He's not even drawing people to himself. He's deflecting it to Jesus. He goes on to say, he must. Everybody say, he must. He must increase, but I must what? Decrease. Wow, you don't hear that in the church. I'm somebody. I'm superstar. And Superman prophet. Up, up, and away. Yeah, you're going to be up, up, and away, all right. See ya. Keep my feet on the rock, grounded, founded on the Word of God. The Word of God is precious. All right. First Corinthians 14:3. This is where the true purpose and function of prophetic ministry lies at. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:3. He that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. What does edification mean? It means to build up. It means to build up. It means to build a building. Okay? You're raising it. You're not demolishing it with your words. I said you're not demolishing it with your words. I said you're not demolishing it with your words. It's a building gifting. Somebody comes to you and begins to tear you down with prophecy, run for your life. Wrong spirit, spirit of error. Exhortation, it means to call near. Come here. Come here. Don't run away, come here. Calling near. God's always going to call you near. He's not going to ever chase you away. People with their words will chase you away, but God will not chase you away. He will call you near. That's not how you know a genuine prophetic word or ministry is operating. Calling people near. To who? To them? No. To Jesus. His word. His word. Comfort. To ease and to calm. To ease and to calm. God knows you got enough negative words hurled at you every day, even in the church. I think sometimes in the church it's more brutal than the world. I'll just preach. I don't need an amen, okay? I think more people have been wounded in the church than outside the church. I'm not bashing the church. I'm just telling it like it is. We need to get back to the purpose and function of true prophetic ministry in the church. All right? We need to get rid of this childish stupidity of this ministry that people are promoting and get back to God's mature word and release it so people can grow and mature. Come on. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Now, Paul says this, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, it's good to take heed when an apostle who is establishing the New Testament church and has written two-thirds of the word says, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Not have miracles. Not have healings. But you prophesy. Desire that above everything else. Why? Because it builds the body of Christ into the other gifts. Verse 31 says this. Let's see what I got in my notes here. For you can all prophesy one by one, and that all may learn and all may be comforted. Imagine if everybody in the church prophesied in a meeting to one another. What would that look like? That would look like no one has a need or concern whatsoever. Right? It says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold their peace. Verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Who is God the author of? Peace, right? Not confusing. Oh, I just don't know about that word. I'm kind of confused about that word. Well, isn't God speaking to you? Well, some of it was good, but some of it was, that wasn't God. God doesn't bring you into confusion. He brings you into peace. I told this story. I'll tell it again because you need experience, right? Very early in the prophetic, I was at a meeting. These people were calling people up. The people that brought me there said, you should go up. I was like, okay, I'm hungry. I'll take whatever God has for me. I walk up to the front. They're going down, giving prophecies. And now that I think of it, there is very little of the word, which should have been a sign that it was off. But I was a new believer, hungry, but nobody was teaching me, right, in the church, how to walk in maturity and discern accurate prophetic ministry. So when the person got to me, the first thing they said to me, are you ready to quit playing games with God in front of the whole church? And it shocked me. It what could I say with my faith? It embarrassed me and like just crippled my faith. I was like, what? I didn't say anything because I'm trying to be proper, but in my heart, I'm like, my heart is like, what do you, I'm not playing any games with God. And then they said, ha, you're called to preach, and the next 9 months you're going to be miserable, and everybody starts laughing. I'm not laughing. I'm like, can't wait to get out of there, right? And I know they're going down the line, giving these flattering prophecies that have no word basis or foundation. You know, if you're going to prophesy, the whole purpose, you have to have God's word in you. It should be coming out in your prophesying. I'm not saying everything should be scripture, but majority of it should be, because you've got nothing to stand on other than people's words, right? So there's nothing to build with. It's just tearing me down. So they're going, other people, they're going, oh, you gave and you gave when you couldn't even give, and you're so wonderful, and I'm thinking, what? So I was wounded. I walked into the bathroom stall. That's the best place for me to hear from God. I don't know why he speaks to me in there, but he does. I guess it's either you can take it or flush it, Terry, one of the two. So anyway, I'm in there, and I'm devastated. I really am. So I come out of there, and the service is over, thank God, and we're on our way back. And the people that brought me were well-meaning. They're, you know, and they said, well, how did you like it? Wasn't it great? And I said, I didn't like it. It didn't do me any good what that person told me. It just, in fact, just wounded me. I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah, really. That was given to me. So I got home, and I've always, from the beginning, made it a practice to go to God's word no matter what the preacher, the prophet, the person in the pew said to me. Like the Bereans, they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they sought God's word when they heard it to make sure it was right. The other church people just let it go, whatever. So I was always like that, which was a safeguard. So I went home, and I'm praying and waiting on God, and God takes me right to Jeremiah and says, I'm against the prophets that say, thus saith the Lord, and I have not spoken. And God said, hey, Terry, I didn't speak. I'd never tear you down. Let that go now, forgive, and move on. Okay? So it always has to edify, exhort, and comfort for it to be true prophetic ministry. Not some goofy, flaky. I think the church has been eating too many frosted flakes. Right? They've been listening to too many frosted flakes of prophecy, stuff that sounds sweet, but it does have no nutritional value. We need the corn flakes. You know what the corn flakes are, the words? It's biblical. Jesus said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn of the ear for the harvest. So it builds, it exhorts, and it comforts into maturity. Time for some corn flakes in the church instead of frosted flakes. Get rid of the flakes. Can't stand flakes in the church with the word, prophetic word. It annoys me. All right. Wait, I had a thought there. Lost it. Anyway, the Holy Spirit came through with his word. I said, with his word. With his word. Be careful if you run constantly for a word. Because you may get the exact word that you want, but it may not be God's word. Now, everybody would like a word. I've liked words at times, okay? The more I've grown, I don't got to run. I just got to run to the word. And you know what the New Testament prophet does? Our prophetic ministry? They confirm the word that God's already speaking to you. Not that you should go and marry so-and-so. Why don't you go marry him? Or you should go and buy that car. Well, I'd like to get some fuel mileage. Why don't you buy it? It's like $10,000 over my budget. Do it by faith. No, you do it by faith. You take the payments with you. See what I'm saying? You can't just sit and hear words that have no scriptural foundation to stand on or to be built with. And somebody operating in true prophetic ministry, the word should be coming from them and out of them with added things that the Spirit wants to say. First Thessalonians 5:20. Now I'm being very careful this morning not to discredit the prophetic ministry. Okay? I'm not naming names, but I'm distinguishing between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error in the church. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:20 and 21. Despise not prophesyings, and prove all things, and hold fast to that which is good. So number one, don't despise a prophetic ministry. And it's despised in the church, in some denominations. Most denominations, it's despised. Okay? I've been in it. I've heard it. They explain the gifts of the Spirit away. They explain the gifts of Christ away, that they're no longer for today, that it passed out with, it went away with the apostles, and so, and they twist it, and they manipulate it, and they dishonor God's word. And I can't stand that. Because if it's in the word, it's God's word. It's for you. It's for today. So be careful. Always go to the word. Even when I'm preaching this morning, make sure you go to the word. If something isn't lining up with what I'm sharing with you, toss it out. All right? No one's perfect, but we're trying for perfection. All right? People are going to make mistakes. But if the overall word is founded on the word, then go with that. Throw the other stuff out. Amen? All right. So, the word of God edifies. It builds. Listen to Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So God's word imparts grace to you. Okay? It imparts strength to you. It's building. His word is constantly building. All right? It's not tearing down. Too much tearing down. Now, I read in 1 Corinthians 14:24, let the prophets speak or prophetic ministry happen in the church and let the others judge. So all prophetic words from an office gift to a spirit gift must be judged. I said it must be judged. It must be judged how? According to the word. According to the word. Is it in the word? Is there a scriptural basis that can be found in the word? Or is it outside the boundaries of God's word? It has to. So, authority that's established in the church has a higher level or degree of spiritual discernment to discern if the word is accurate and of God or not. Okay? Why? Because the leadership in the church is going to give an account for your soul. All right? So they have an extra measure of grace and authority to be able to discern what's being spoken into the body, if it's from the Spirit or it's not of the Spirit. Okay? Very important. So, if... Now, I'm here to encourage you in the prophetic ministry. Okay? I'm here to encourage you. I have to give warning with it, but I'm here to encourage you. Now, listen, I was at one point in my life that I thought I was more spiritual in my discernment than the leadership. Okay? And I found out how foolish I was. And I never forgot reading one of Smith Wigglesworth's books. You probably know who he is or read his books. And I remember, it always stuck with me. And I remember in one of his books that these two women wanted to be missionaries, so they felt God speak to them. They were going to sell everything and go into the mission field, right? So they didn't come to ask for prayer. They came to tell their leadership, we're selling everything. We're going to so-and-so, and we're going to become missionaries. God spoke to us. And it didn't set right with the leaders in the church, and they're like, well, it doesn't really set right. It may not be God's timing, or it may not be God at all. We're not really sure. We can't bless you and send you out because we just don't have God's peace. It's kind of confusing. And they're like, oh, no, we've heard from God. We're going to do it. They're like, okay. So they went out and lost everything and failed miserably and came back home. And Smith said this. He said, if you think you are superior to those whom God has placed in the church to rule in authority, watch out, that is surely the devil. So, word of advice. Honor your leadership because God has established them. You may not agree with everything. Honestly, I don't all the time. And if I don't, I'll tell them. Okay? It's not in rebellion. It's just I have to show you in the Word. And if you do that in honor and respect, you will abide under God's protection because they're responsible for your soul. So you don't want to get out under that protection because you decide you're more spiritual than they are. One of the frustrating things about prophetic ministry is that you often see things and things will be revealed to you. Number one, mostly to pray. Before others in the church, maybe even the leaders, because that's how that gifting works. You just see things, it just comes, you don't understand it. But God will never usurp his authority in the church. You always go to your authority and you work that and you pray with that and work with them and see what God does. Amen? Honor. It's all about honor. All right. I got to say a few things here that maybe some of you ain't going to like. Okay? But I ain't on Facebook, so you can't hit my like or dislike button. I used to be, but I used to just getting too many confrontations with the Word, and I figure, you know what? I don't need this. I want peace. I don't want people text me in the middle of the night all over the world saying, well, hey, no, I see this, and I believe that, okay. I'll just get off, right? I want fewer distractions in my life so I can focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. There's too many distractions, even in the church, right? Well, did you hear what's going on in the church? Did you see what's going on in the church? See what's going on in the world. Did you hear what's going on in the world? You know, I don't care. I want to focus on Jesus. He'll take care of the distractions. It's all they are, distractions. Well, I came to church, I was healed, and all of a sudden I feel sick. Distraction. lying distraction, lying symptoms. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You know God healed you. You know he gave you his word. What are you going to believe? I'll go blind before I doubt that God's healed my eyes. I'll take it to blindness. I don't care. Right? God healed you. If he gave you a word, that's his word. He's not a man that he should lie. Right? He cannot lie. All right. 2020 elections. Everybody remember those? I got to address this. Sorry. There was a group of prophets, mature prophets, well-known prophets that were prophesying President Trump is going to get a second term. Right? And he did not. He did not. Did he? I mean, have I missed something? Is Biden wearing a Trump mask now or what? He did not get in, did he? Number one. Error. Number two, they said, well, it was Chinese collusion or election fraud with the ballots. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. God knows. He still did not get in. Number two strike. Well, God's going to overturn it, and he's going to be put back in his office, and all these things are going to be found out. And they did this for another 6 months, word after word after word. And did he get back in office? I asked you, did he get back in office? Did he get back in office? Trump did now, but not back then. Let me clarify that. 4 years he did not get back in, right? Now, do you think God had a memory lapse and thought, oh, you know what? Sorry. The timing was for 4 years, guys, girls, right? I missed it. Instead of saying my bad because God's good. My good. To the angels, my good. I'll make this a little lighter with humor. It was very serious. All right. So Trump did not get reelected, and they continued to prophesy for another 6 months that he would. And now, very well known, I could name the names, you'd know who they were. Thank God, two of them, from my knowledge that I saw, repented. Said, you know what? We missed it. We were wrong. Mr. President, we're sorry. Talking about Biden, we're going to pray for you. Please forgive us publicly. The others did not. So you've already got in the church denominations that don't believe in the gifts of spirit, especially prophecy. So now that's all discredited because they're watching too. See, we told you these gifts weren't for today. They're lying, they're prophesying, and they're not even coming to pass. Now just strengthen our unbelief. Wow, that's bad. It's bad because it caused, this is little ones, to offend. And Jesus said, woe be unto those that cause these little ones to offend. Now you've got it discredited in the church, and now outside of the church, the unsaved has seen it, and they're like, what? These are church people, and they're lying? I ain't going to church. Oh, bad, 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 bad. You know what God's word says about that? Now, there is a more severe, God is not going to punish you, but he is going to correct you or chastise you with those with an office gift and the gift of prophecy. There's a way more higher accountability to an office gift than there is the spiritual gift of prophecy. All right? So, go to Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13. 1 through 6. Hey, this is all good. Look it, it's all good. It's all going to work together for good. You can't brush things under the rug. You can't just brush them aside, especially in the church. That's been going on for way too long, way, way too long. That's why the gift, the prophetic ministry is off track, going in different directions. Okay? Look at it. You see how I always go to God's word? You see, I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you what God says, what his word says. Then you decide what you want to believe. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. Wow. He's not talking about false prophets here. He's talking about the prophets of Jehovah, of Israel. Okay? I'm not talking about false prophets in the church. That's another teaching. I'm talking about true prophets now, what happened with the elections. And say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. See, a true prophet is going to see something. Can line up with the word. And a true one takes a lot for them to get off course and make mistakes, but it does happen. Because Jesus is the only one of who walked the earth in perfection so far. Even Paul said, I've not attained to it, but I'm going for it that I know of. Okay? O Israel, your prophets are like the foxes of the desert. Now listen. This is so good. Remember I told you in the Old Testament when God gave the prophet or prophetess a word, they would then go to the people, and then if the people said no, then they would hit their knees, go back to God, hit their knees, and intercede for the people so God's wrath wouldn't come upon the nation. Because under the Old Testament, they lived under law, not grace. If you stepped outside the law, you come under God's wrath. This is how it was. And not that wrath was going to wipe them out. It was actually, they were open now to the enemy for all kinds of stuff to happen to them. Disease, attack, loss, okay? You have not gone up into the gaps or intercession, neither have you made up a hedge of protection for the house of Israel to stand in battle in the day of the Lord. Okay? You didn't stand before me and intercede for my people. The Lord saith, you have seen vanity and lying divination. This is pretty heavy now. He's talking to true prophets, saying the Lord says, and the Lord has not sent them. Now, here it is, bottom line. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. I'm going to keep prophesying. I want you to believe what I'm telling you is from God, so I'm going to keep at it. He's going to be back in. He's going to be back in. Here's another word. Yep, just believe what I'm saying. And he did not get back in. Thank God he did 4 years later. And like to my knowledge, I don't know if they have repented or not to this day, but these were true people who walked in the office of the prophet or prophetess. How could they make such a grievous error? Right? Well, if you want something really bad enough, you'll start believing it. And God even said in his word, when the children of Israel were disobedient and they wanted to go serve other gods, God would tell them what they wanted to hear because they wanted to do it. Yeah, go serve your gods. Go ahead. It'll be well with you. And it wasn't well at all. So, what is the result of the outcome now that has happened in the church? One, the prophetic ministry has been discredited. Okay? In and out of the church. Two, there is a spirit of error that is mingled in with the spirit of truth. Because what's going to happen next time? You could follow someone who keeps giving false words. What's going to happen next time? I'm not bashing them. I'm not looking down on them. I'm not judging them. I'm calling it according to God's word. That they shouldn't continue in their office or their ministry without repentance. There should be godly accountability and correction take place. Not too many amens. You know, we don't like to hear that in the church. Godly correction, right? We think that's for the world. Sorry. Timothy says, study to show yourself approved as a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. For all scripture is God ordained and is profitable for one, correction. And he goes on to say what else, right? You're okay with this? You good? I'm going to keep preaching it anyway if you're not. Just thought I'd do that in love. I'm doing it in love. I'm not mad. You don't see me up here mad. You don't see me yelling, right? You don't see me calling people out, naming names. I'm not going to walk in dishonor. I'm not going to walk in untruth of God's word. Early, you need experience, okay? So I try to give experience with what I'm bringing so you can grab it and understand and learn from it, okay? There was a time many years, in the church. I was growing in the prophetic. I was accelerating. I was at the church one Saturday for some function that was, I think maybe it was a work day. But as I was walking through the courtyard, I heard in the chapel music going on, right? So I'm thinking, oh, they must be having a worship service over there. So I'm walking through there, and I get up by the stairs and go in there, and I'm thinking, man, there must be worship in there. Instead of my hands going up like, yeah, they went, no. The Spirit went, no. It just cringed. So I opened the door and walked in there, and what did I see? I saw this mosh group in there. You know what a mosh group is? For those of you who don't know a mosh group, it's a worldly group that the band plays music in such a frenzy state that the youth or whoever start slamming into each other, moshing. They'll get on the stage and jump out right into the crowd. That's not worship. Now, I walked in there, I saw the pastor, I saw what was going on, I don't know if there was an elder in there or not, and that's not what grieved me the most, my spirit. What grieved me the most was there were parents in there with little kids, little children, being subjected and open to that spirit in the church, and that's what got me. Now, I had been asked to speak the next day in a Sunday night service. I got to tell you experience, okay? So, in the midst of my message, the pastor's in there, there's an elder in there. In the midst of my message, this has been fuming at me, right? I say, yesterday the church opened the door to a Christian, you know, we take the word Christian and apply it now to everything in the church. Too many amens, but it's true. I'm not legalistic, okay? I believe in freedom, but I believe in discernment. Jesus said this, "My house shall be called a house of prayer unto all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves." What does he mean, a den of thieves? You brought stuff in here that robbed God's glory, made it a common house. They were selling animals in there for sacrifices that were blemished and it was unclean. And they just opened God's house up to anything. Jesus got ticked off. Some of you don't think Jesus got angry, but he did a couple times. The Bible talks about it. This is one of the times. He didn't lose his temper, but he got righteously angry. So he makes a small cord of whips, probably like a fly swatter. I don't know, bro. You know, not like the Romans did to tear the flesh off you. But this is his father's house. And he goes in there and starts whipping these religious people and people that have come in and overturn their tables and say, "Get out of here. This is God's house. It's a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. Don't bring your merchandise and make merchandise of the gospel in here." There's way too much gospel merchandise now in these days that we're living in. All right? So Jesus chases them out. So I'm in my message, and I say this in the midst of the message. The pastor and the elder there. Yesterday, we had this so-called Christian mosh group come in here. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to discern that wasn't of the Spirit. And then I went on to preaching. Well, the elder leaned over the pastor and said, "That was out of order." You know what? He was right. He was right. How many of you know you could be right and wrong at the same time? Okay. So I go home thinking that I'm Superman. I spoke up for God. That shouldn't have taken place. What the heck? So I go to bed at night and I can't get to sleep. I'm turning back and forth. I'm thinking, attack for the word. So I start going at it with the enemy. Right? And I go downstairs because I don't want to be doing this in my bed. Might have socked my wife in the side of the head. So I go down on the couch, or I go down and I start walking, taking authority. And now I'm exhausted. Sorry, I've been getting over this cough for a couple weeks. I'm just dry. So I'm exhausted, right? I got to go to work early. The next day, like 4:30, I wake up to go to work. So I'm like, "Man, I got to get some sleep. I'm exhausted. I'm just going to sleep." I couldn't sleep the entire night. I'm back and forth. Right? In the morning, the Spirit says to me, "Hey, Jonah." No, he didn't say Jonah. That's what I felt like in a fish. I like to fish, too. I'm a fisherman. I kind of could relate. Didn't have seaweed, but I haven't had seaweed soup before. All right, keep going. So, he says, "Did you forget what I said in my word, Terry?" I was like, "Probably." "What did you say?" 1 Timothy 5:1. This is refreshing. This is good. Church needs to hear this more. Good. All right. "Rebuke not an elder." Now, that doesn't mean just a church elder. That means an older man or a woman. "But look to them, and I'll say, treat them as a father, and the younger men as brethren." Brothers. Oh. Oh, God, I think I did forget that one. Well, Terry, you know, I can't just give you one word because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, my word's established. So now go to 1 Timothy 5:1. Okay. First Timothy 5:1. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Ooh. Able to teach, patient. Stop. Do you know what the sign of an apostle is? The number one sign of a true apostle? Paul defines it. He says, I came to you in all patience, in miracles, signs, and wonders. You can't have the miracles, signs, and wonders without the fruit of all patience unto all men. In meekness, humility, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. So, lesson. You don't go to a leader and rebuke them. I wouldn't advise, especially from the pulpit in front of everybody. It's not really wise. It's not wise. You go to them in meekness and you appeal to them. You say, listen, this is what's going on in my heart. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I believe God's word says. I just don't think this is of God. Please pray about it because I think it's detrimental. That's how I should have handled it. You can't just sweep things in prophetic ministry under the rug. God will not allow it. And let me say, prophesy this with this message. I believe 2026 will be a prophetic reset in the church for prophetic ministry as never before. That's why I've got to bring this word. Okay? So, I call work. I said, I can't come in. I'm sick. Which I was. I couldn't drive a bus, a 40-ton vehicle, half asleep. I got sleep deprivation. I had insomnia last night. I'm just exhausted. Okay. No problem. So I thought, oh, man, I just can't wait to go home and go to sleep. I'm exhausted. So I go home, go to sleep, go to work, think, okay, God, I really learned my lesson. Thank you. Or so I thought. The next week, I come to church. The pastor says, hey, can you come into the office for a little bit? I'm like, sure, I can. We put people in position way too fast in the church, Terry. We really do. They say not to let a novice be in a position, or a new believer, or immature believer, especially in the prophetic. Sorry, you need mature people in there. You can have somebody come alongside to grow with it and be mentored, but you need to have somebody more mature. All right. So I walk in there. And there's the pastor or pastors. We had a youth pastor, children's pastor. I don't remember if they were there. But now it wasn't just one elder. It was all the elders in there. I'm like thinking, well, I'm probably in trouble again. What did I do? I didn't say anything. I repented. So they're like, have a seat, Terry. So this is what they said to me. They said, you are not allowed to speak in the church until we feel we can trust you again with the prophetic ministry. Because we're accountable for it. And when we feel it's time, you'll be released back into speaking. So I had two choices at that point. I could have said, you know what? You guys are off your rocker. You don't hear in this church and I'm leaving. Right? Because I know who I am in God. Which is nothing. Or I could humble myself because it was a test from God to see if I could be entrusted again with the word of the Lord. I said, all right, you let me know. Thank you. I think 1 or 2 months later down the road, they said, okay, you're released. You can go back to speaking to the church. That's what I'm talking about. There needs to be some type of discipline or correction in the church when those things happen. You don't sweep them under the rug. You don't push them aside. We'll say, hey, we're in grace. Yeah, you're in grace. You know what would have happened if the leaders would have said that to me? I would have kept going in rebellion, and who knows where I would have wound up, right? Whom God loves, you what? Corrects in love. They weren't mean. They weren't, you know, punching me out in the office, taking turns. They just were saying, you know what? We recognize, and it's serious that you learn this for your benefit and for the church. And this is what should have happened when these words were released from these prophets. And they weren't, except two that I know of. Okay? So, God says in Psalms, what is man or woman that you are mindful of them, that you test their hearts every moment? So God is going to test you every moment, especially those to whom much is given, much is required. All right? So thank God we're growing in grace. There's grace for mistakes. There's consequences for mistakes. But those consequences in a godly repentance is healthy. Amen? That's what's lacking in the church. Everything goes now. Every word goes. Every mistake goes. No, sorry, it doesn't. It goes to God's word for scrutiny. Okay? For he's got the final authority. All right. I'm coming down the home stretch now, like Bruce says. I think he took that from me, brother. It's okay. He's an elder. I'd come up with another saying. All right. There is a difference now between prophecy to the congregation and individual prophecy. Difference between prophecy to the congregation and individual prophecy. Now, let me say this. The office of a prophet carries with it stricter discipline and consequences that have to be addressed by leadership, okay? Because they're operating in a gifting that has such impact, it can bring life or it cannot bring life, right? And they need to be that so they can be protected and stay on course. Because I think personally, the hardest gifting or office is that office of a prophet. Because there's so many faculties that they've got to deal with, their emotions, their intellect, discerning what God is saying, seeing the word, you know, knowing when to start prophesying and knowing when to stop. Okay? So I'm going to give you my advice on some things. Is that okay? It's not God's commands. It's just advice that I think is wisdom from experience. Okay? Now, this is what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 7:6, he says this, I speak this by permission and not by commandment. Okay? He goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 8-10, I speak this not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. Now here it is. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, or important for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So, here is this apostle, the New Testament, he's, to me, the greatest of the apostles in the New Testament, okay? Just because he says the grace that was working with me, I was able to outrun the others before me. Writes 2/3 of the New Testament, okay? He's got handkerchiefs or rags from him taken out and people are getting healed. So It's good to listen to somebody of this caliber when they're talking or saying, I'm going to give you some advice. Okay? It's not a command, but it's some advice. All right? All right. Here's what I'm going to say. Because I want you to be encouraged and built up and comforted. God wants you to operate in the gift of prophecy in the church. Now remember I said the office has a greater severity of accountability than just somebody prophesying and moving in prophetic ministry. Okay? Because I've been in the church where I've heard a lot of words, not all were scriptural or by the Spirit. But they were not detrimental to the church. Okay? They were fleshly or soulish, and they were not harmful. All right? So you don't got to stop prophesying. You're not prophesying the word in front of everybody, right? Just leadership can pull them off to the side and say, hey, you know, da-da-da-da. Encourage you to keep going, but, you know, this is what's accurate. This is not what's accurate. Otherwise, nobody would get up here and prophesy. They'd be too afraid. And you have to step out in faith. Sorry. Okay, so when it comes to corporate prophesying, there's nothing wrong with saying, this is what the Lord says, or this is what the Spirit says, or the Lord is telling me to tell you. Why is it okay? Because there is authority, elders in the church, spiritual authority that can discern if it's accurate or not. Okay? And if it's not or whatever, they can address it. That's wise. Okay? Now, when it comes to personal prophecy, in other words, let's say there's an altar call. Now remember, this ain't a command. I'm just giving you some advice. Right? There's an altar call. You're praying for somebody, and you feel like you got a word for them. But let's say there's no authority around to hear that word, or you're by yourself. Now, you can go find somebody if possible, but if not, let's just say there's nobody around. It's just you and that person. I would not say to that person, the Lord says this. The Lord is telling me to tell you this. Why would I not do that? Number one, there's no spiritual authority to judge it in the church. So there's no accountability. What if it's a new believer? And what if you're off by some reason that morning? You had a fight with your spouse or the kids, or you're just not at 100% and you're just reading into things maybe by their lifestyle, but you don't know their heart because only God does. So you start prophesying to them things of the soul and not of the spirit, that it could be detrimental to them. Okay? Now, I'm not going to do that. Okay? Because I don't think it's wise. Because I don't want to derail somebody's destiny for what God has called them to do or be. And there's plenty in the church that have been derailed and off track because of that. This is what I would do. I would say, this is on my heart. I want to share it with you. This is what I saw. And you take it before the Holy Spirit and ask him. That's wise to me. Because now, the person that's getting the word, the new believer, doesn't feel violated. Their faith. They don't feel controlled or manipulated because I said, this is what the Lord says, or the Lord's telling me to tell you this. Because what if I'm wrong and I wound them and their destiny? No, it's much wiser, and this is how I was trained. This is what's on my heart. This is what I've seen. I don't ever want to dishonor God's name or his testimony. I've been around plenty of Christians at work, say they're Christians and tell dirty jokes and laugh and, you know, speed and talk about management behind. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to definitely wound somebody in the church like that because I think I got a word for them. So this is what I feel the Lord's telling me. This is what I see. I want to encourage you. Now, hopefully God is already dealing with that person, the things you're saying, because that would be confirming. But if he's not, I'm not going to say, well, you should go marry so-and-so. You should quit your job and go to that job, right? It's not my place. I'm not operating witchcraft. I'm not going to do it. Not divination. I'm not going to do that. And then they could take it to the leadership, and so-and-so told me this and stuff and told me to pray. What do you think? That's, to me, that's wise advice. Okay? It's not commandment, just advice from experience. All right. I'm closing right now. Last scripture. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Let me say, prophecy always is activated by faith. Okay? I'm going to give you a closing experience how that operates. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Everybody wants to be in ministry. Nobody wants to wait. I know this one guy, well known in the body now, gets caught up to heaven. Jesus visits him regularly. It's accurate, it's biblical. You know how long he waited for his ministry? 40 years. And now he surpassed all these other people that I know that, dude, this guy gets taken up on a regular basis. And he's getting all these things from the Holy Spirit, having, you know, conversations with Jesus. He's up on the, with Jesus on sitting in heavenly places one day next to Jesus. And he tries to lean over to see the Father. And as he's leaning, Jesus leans over. Because you can't look at him. Can't look at him and live right now. You're not got your glorified body, so back up, Junior. Okay. Always wiser to wait. Let God light a fire under me to get me going if he has to. I'm not going to run ahead of him. Okay. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. Now, what's the difference between exhortation and prophecy? It's not the same. Okay? Doesn't say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Exhortation, just a bonus, is when somebody gets inspired to come up here on a Sunday morning and has a verse or has a prayer request and they deliver that. That's not prophesying. Not moving in the word and speaking prophetic words. That's exhorting, okay? That's good. We need that. We need to be exhorted, encouraged, right? That's the difference. All right. And he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. And he that rules in leadership with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Okay. Last experience, and you guys can go. Grab a bunch of stones out there. If you can get them off the frozen ground, I'm peg me when I walk out the doors. All right. Interesting. I came out of the Baptist church, got born again. Great people, word people. A lot of word, not much spirit. So I was taught against gifts of the Spirit, taught against the fivefold ministry gifts. It's ironic, the guy who led me to Christ, the guy who led him to Christ was spirit-filled, but he decided not to be. So I was taught, no, there's no healing today, there's no prophecy today, there's no da-da-da-da. There's no office gifts, there's no apostles, there's no prophets, there's just evangelists, okay, pastor, teachers. So I was like, okay, so I grew for a while, and then I was stagnated, right? I couldn't go above what they were believing. So Spirit moved me out into the Assemblies of God. Now, this is interesting. Assemblies of God are awesome. I mean, they probably have more missionary churches around the world than any other denomination. I think we used to be Assemblies maybe at one time here. No? Foursquare? Foursquare, okay. So, in the Assemblies, I love this guy because he was my youth pastor and stuff. You know, great guy. not going to name his name. But anyway, so the guy who was mentoring me in the assemblies moved in the gift of prophecy. Okay, that was a common occurrence in the services. People get up, give tongues, interpretation. They get up and prophesy. So I saw all that going on as a new believer, and I was like, man, that's cool, right? I want to be used in that. So I'm praying to the Holy Spirit, you know, I want to be used in that. I said, I got enough faith to give a message in tongues, but I don't have enough faith to prophesy or interpret. Can you have somebody else do it? I'll give the tongues. Let me give the tongues one time. So he's like, okay. See, hunger. Paul said, earnestly desire that you can prophesy. Why? Because it's beneficial to everyone, the body. The more you do it, the more the body's built up. In fact, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you, Paul. All right. So, I'm in a Wednesday night service. There's not a lot of people. The pastor's up there, worship service going on. I'm thinking about what I was praying. All of a sudden, my heart starts going. I start going faster. Like I just sprinted a 50-yard dash in track. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what is this? And it built so far that I couldn't keep it in, right? So I let it out. I figured it's got to be tongues. So it was tongues. It came out. Da-da-da-da-da. Right? I thought, that was awesome, right? Now somebody's going to give the interpretation. Well, I waited. Wait on your ministry. Okay, I'll wait. A couple minutes, I'm like, no one's giving an interpretation. I'll wait some more. A few minutes go by. No one's given an interpretation. Now I'm getting nervous. Was I in my flesh? And of course, you got the enemy saying, you're in your flesh. You know, you're in your emotions, your soul, your intellect, all this stuff. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, nobody's given an interpretation. So now I'm not waiting anymore. I'm panicking. I didn't have enough faith to give the interpretation. I just didn't. So then I hear the Holy Spirit say, prophesy. Right? Man, you think after the Spirit tells you. And I'm like, I can't. I still don't have enough faith. I had a little more. That was it. I couldn't cross that threshold. And then the pastor says, go ahead, Terry. And that was it. I took off, opened my mouth, and out came the word. Now, when it came out, this is pretty cool. I felt a swirling in my belly, a literal way I can describe it. It was fire. It was like a hurricane swirls. I could feel it burning and swirling. And when the pastor said, go ahead, Terry, it shot up through my esophagus. I mean, my esophagus was like on fire, and it came out my mouth like a flamethrower. I could still remember the few words I prophesied in with scripture. It wasn't real long, but it was the word. And so the Spirit then, on a regular basis from time to time, and was like, and not every week, began to move on me in the main congregation. I'd be watching worship, and my heart would be going, I'd be trying to worship, but I couldn't just really concentrate, and all of a sudden these words of scripture were coming. So you got to have the word in you for it to come out of you. You just can't be a flake and say, the sky is blue with a yellow bird flying over, dropping you a blessing. What do you want? All right. So I'd get up and I'd speak, and I'd be so shaken, I would be shaken, and then I'd have to sit down. That's what happened the first time. But as time went on and I kept moving in faith, it got less intense. God didn't have to work me over so much where it became just a nudge. I want you to speak this word. Okay? So I want to encourage you that this morning, it was beginning in the morning, in the worship, prophetic ministry was stirring. It was moving. Okay? God is doing a reset with the prophetic. And these are the differences of prophetic ministry from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So I want to encourage you to keep stepping out in faith and release what God is putting in your heart for the congregation and others. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand this morning? I'm just going to release unto you what was released into me many years ago, because that's what we're supposed to do. Give and it shall be given, pressed down, good measure, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. When you release what God has given you, God can put more into you. And just a constant flowing and releasing. So, Father, this morning I thank you that you are restoring the purpose and the function of prophetic ministry in the church. You are bringing your body into full maturity so it can be the salt and the light of the world as you intended it to be. It can glorify Jesus because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So, Father, right now, release your fire and release your spirit and release your unction into the bellies of your people here. And let it begin to churn and burn in a fire that cannot be quenched. And when they come next week, let there be an explosion of the prophetic word as never before, because the soil has been prepared and now it's ready. In Jesus' name. And I'll close with what the Spirit told John in Revelation. You must prophesy again unto many nations and kings and peoples. In Jesus' name, be blessed.